everyone. I'd like to welcome you to our third conference call, teleconference. My name is Jeff Cohen. I'm the president of APS. We have some distinguished guests with us today. John Gayston, our lead consultant, is on the phone. We also have Renchi Ali-Aborigo and Master Brian Klein all with you today to discuss some exciting topics, we hope, building referrals and leads, and then also generating interest and leads through the public school system today. Brian's going to be tackling that, so we're very anxious to hear what he has to say and some of the tools of the trade, what he's done in the past. I suppose if what we can do is, for some people that have not been on these calls in the past, we can have each person kind of do a very brief introduction, the three main people speaking today, first John and Allie and then Brian. If you'd each like to spend a minute or so and just tell everyone about yourself, that would be great.
And I go first?
Yes, you do, John.
I'm John Gayston, and back in, I believe, May, joined the team with APS and been doing, handling the consulting on that with the emails and the teleconferencing, doing the boot camps and different things like that. Been running, owning schools since, or teaching since 82, and then professionally running schools for the last 9-10 years, meaning that walked away from the full-time job to go full-time with this, so... And had some been blessed with some good luck along the way.
Okay, Allie.
Oh boy, I don't know what do I say. I'm a martial artist. I started martial arts when I was 3, celebrating my 36th year in the martial arts this year. I started my main school in 1991, I believe. So that's really what I've been doing since then, full time since 1995, I guess. And that's about it, doing a little bit of consulting, mostly teaching, and have 5 schools right now in the country, in U.S., and 3 outside, 2 in Costa Rica and 1 in Bermuda.
And how long have you been with APS?
I think since the start, pretty much, right? You guys were pretty new when I first got involved. That's been
I think it's been a good 5 years, 6 years, yeah.
At least 5 or 6 years, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Well, we're going actually, June will be our, May will be our 11th year.
Well, okay, great.
Yeah.
Then I started halfway through.
Exactly. We'll give you credit for from the beginning. Don't worry.
That's okay, though. I'm doing great. I love it, so.
Absolutely. And Brian?
Hi. I've owned a school for 15 years. Besides owning a school, we have 7 schools in our organization, which I started. Out of the 7 schools, we own 2. The rest of them are licensed locations. And very happy to be with APS. I guess I've been with you, Jeff, for, what, about 3 years now?
Yeah, I believe so.
And
I believe so.
A great company. And I think these teleconference calls are a great addition too. It's a great way to exchange information.
Yeah, we've gotten some good feedback. Certainly like some more feedback from people because the one thing that it's been very difficult to get, of course, in our industry is to get people to speak up and ask questions and to communicate and network with one another. That's I think probably our hardest most difficult challenge to get actually school owners to talk, share ideas, even request what they want, you know, from us and new services. So hopefully this is a way to help facilitate that.
Sounds good.
All right, great. Well, why don't we start with John today on the topic is building referrals and leads. Take it away, Master Gayston.
Sure. What I wanted to talk on was, and last week did an email that was mining your student base for gold. So I want to back up and kind of just touch some points on that email. We had some good positive response from some of the members with APS. So I want to talk, before we get into referrals, just talking about the resources within your school. And naturally, the service that we provide to our students day in and day out builds up the faith of those students that they have within us. So we're building up the rapport right from the beginning, the faith that they have in us, the faith that they have in our product. And everything that we're doing is based off of that, every action that we're taking is with that student. There's probably across, I would say, the entire nation with all the schools, a good majority, and I'm assuming with the people that are on, that we have joined us today on the phone, a lot of your walk-in traffic or call-ins usually come, a high percentage of that is from people who are referring your school over to their friends from what they're experiencing within your school. So a high percentage is coming from that resource of people believing in it. And there's power in others' words. When we say something about our school, it's considered marketing. when someone else says something about your school, it's considered the truth. It's perceived totally as the truth because it's coming from an outside opinion. So the greatest resource value that you have on any type of referral are those who are within your school, experience what you're doing day in and day out, and can refer that over and speak highly of that when they're out in public. There was a book that I read a couple years ago by Joe Girard, who is a top salesman in automobiles, and he wrote a book called The Greatest Salesman of All Time. And in there he talks about that every person has an average of 250 referrals. And by the way, I did research on that number. Where they come up with that number is the average funeral has 250 attendees. So that's where there's at least 250 people that know where they come off that. So if you take that base or that number and just look at that, and let's just say that we're a conservative-sized school, let's say 100 students. You're 100 students, you're looking at potentially 250 contacts that these people will come into, that each person or those 100 people will come into contact with that can talk if you're making an impact on their life, which, again, are going to be a valuable resource to at least 2,500 other people over the time that their membership is there. And I'll give you a sample of how we and what I've experienced on our resources. There was about 4 or 5 years ago, we had went through a dramatic increase in our studio, and we actually outgrew our, we used to do our graduations within our studio, and we outgrew this, and we were trying to find another facility. Looking at gymnasiums or other locations, we come up with, it was roughly about $250 for us to use a facility for about 3 hours, which we figured we could be in and out for a graduation ceremony. One of the mothers of our students happened to be a receptionist at the, actually it was a Catholic grade school that was only about 4 blocks away from our studio, so which was a great, great location for us to do this. She was able to get that, being an employee and a member of the church, and all they required was a donation of $50. So that right there, we went ahead and lined that up with her. We went for that. We were generous enough to give $100 because we still say that. But if we took that, we do 4 graduations a year. That connection that she was able to do for us, of getting us the facility, kept it right in the same neighborhood, plus it saved us over $600 for that year. So just that one little resource. So it doesn't have to be necessary that that your resources within your school are actually referring new members to you, but there's a lot of there's a lot of needs that we come across professionally that we have a need for within our studio. Another one I'll give you is an example that we just dealt with about a month and a half ago here at this studio, and that's with the growth that we're experiencing. We needed to do remodeling. This would have been the second time that we've done it. And we were going to take out 2 walls, put in bleacher sets and some windows. And the quote that came in for that was roughly around $1,700 from the construction crew. We happened to have someone within the studio that had construction ability. That same project only cost us $600. So by having somebody within who believed in our program, in both of those cases, getting us the gymnasium and stepping forward and using their services because they believed in what we were doing, we saved some money there. I know Brian's going to speak on this later on in this call, and that's how to work with your school district. My partner, Jeff DeVore, has had this studio that we partnered up on here for about 15 years, and he was on a first-name basis with the superintendent and the principals, 2 out of the 4 principals of the school district here. And when we came, one of the things, now we partnered up the very first week of August. School started the second week of August. One of the things of looking at what we wanted to do was start a after-school program. So having, literally, it was just this quick of a turnaround. Discussed the after-school program, put it together on a Wednesday, called the superintendent. That same day, had an appointment with him on Thursday. We were set up in every grade school with our own table by Monday. And just getting, again, a conservative figure, 25 kids, that resource of not over the years of building that up, that's going to make us $90,000 this year. So again, it's coming back to using the resources within your school other than just using what resources that you have for referrals. There's going to be professional need. So I'm going to ask you to put, if you got paper and pen in hand, just ask yourself these four questions. Is your value of your program and the service strong enough for your student base to be your number one marketing strength? That's your number one question. And these are things that I want you to look at over the next week. And then number two is, what resources are in your base? Do you have, you know, the connections? Is there someone within there, within your connection? I'll give you another example off of that question. Is, we wanted to get out a corporate VIP program where we started working with corporations and giving out employees VIP passes and reduced the corporate rate membership to our studio. Using our resources within here, we were able to get our foot in the door with seven different corporations, either up through the Human Resource Department or whoever we needed to give us a nod, and we're able to get distributed 4,500 VIP passes in about a month's time through those seven corporations. So what resources are in your base? Do you have resources that you can use to get into corporations, that you can use to get in your school district, that you can use to get into scout meetings in different areas? So look at your resources that are, identify what resources are available in your student base at this time. Number three is, what do you have a need for right now in your program? And that could be a wide range of different things. It's not, and don't look at that just for marketing. We're looking right now of hiring somebody from 5 to 7 just to work as a receptionist. We're going to look in-house first for that, because naturally that's somebody that we know that believes in our program and would be able to relay and communicate the benefits or the feelings that they've seen with the program. So, you know, what needs do you have right now in your program? If you're a growing school, if you're wanting to get into the school districts, if you're wanting to get out in the corporate VIPs, are you wanting to get lead boxes placed? You might find some resources within your school of stay-at-home moms that are willing to get out and place lead boxes for you within the community and do the check-in and everything for you. So look at that. And identify what resources are out there. And then the last thing is, how can you, working with the resources that you help you achieve the goals that you're wanting to achieve with your school? So those are the different things that we can look at with our resources, or look within our student base. That doesn't necessarily have to be just always about getting a new student into the door. Naturally, that's what we're all about, is growing. But those resources are very valuable to us in all levels. Now, the last thing I'll talk about briefly, and I won't go into too much detail on this call. This is going to be something that I'm going to go to at length and during the marketing session at the upcoming boot camp, and that's going to be talking about VIP referral contests. And a VIP, some of you may be familiar with those that aren't. I don't know everybody that's in the room, so I'm not sure who's familiar with the referral contest and who isn't. But just quickly, a VIP referral contest is, what we run is a 12-week program one time a year. You can run it. I've known schools that run them 1 to 2 times a year. We run it one time a year. We allow all our students, we do a complete packet that explains why we're doing this, what we're wanting to accomplish with this, and it's a referral contest where you get a packet, you get 5 tickets, and it explains that over 12 weeks, we're going to give, at the end of the 12 weeks, we're going to do a drawing. In this particular one, we're giving away a commercial-grade trampoline with the enclosure and everything. So we use that. Springtime's coming. You're going to get out in your yard. We've got the coolest thing that goes in your backyard this spring. Bada, bada, bada. And anyway, we set that up. And what it is that we give you 5 tickets to start with. For every ticket that you bring back in on a stub, we give you 5 tickets that you put your name on, and that goes into the barrel for us to draw at the end. This is not, we've only had this program, we're into our second week starting tomorrow. We're going into our second week, and we have over 100 leads that have been turned in, 39 appointments, and that have been set, done, and 39 new students on a 30-day pass right now on our floor. So we're looking for some great numbers on that. Over a 12-week session, we're seeing those numbers already in the first 2 weeks, and again, that results are because that comes back to, what are we building up as the service that we provide? Those people who are doing that, the reason that this is going over very well is obviously they're happy with what they're seeing, they believe in what they're seeing, and they have enough confidence in what we're doing to share that experience with a friend and get them into our studio. So using your resources for various different things within your school, people help out those that they believe in. And there's a lot of times we beat ourselves up professionally trying to figure out this, and that. And sometimes all we need to do is look within that circle within our four walls every day. Okay, does anybody have any questions on the resources or using those not only for referrals but for all the different things that we just talked about?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
This is Allie?
Allie. Okay.
Yes. On the referrals that you're doing, do you find as a newer school you tend to get more people to refer you than as an older school, that the people have, you kind of exhausted a little bit of the referrals and they've done it over and over again for you, but they're kind of running out of people or they lost effort or energy and so on?
Sure.
As a new school owner?
Yeah, well, you know, I've had this now with three different schools, with the one in Springfield that you were aware of. I had that for, we didn't do a referral program until we were back in our fourth year of operation there. And that had very similar results as this. I think we ended up, by the time it was over, probably about a little less than 50% of the people that we put on a VIPA, we enrolled, and we enrolled 87 in
right.
that 12-week, just above and beyond. So
right.
I seen it a very high turnout there. As you're aware, with the school that did about a year and a half ago with that investment group down in Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
That was a brand-new school. And we did get some response, but it was very little. So from that being a new school, I would say that the response that we're getting here, though, is probably the excitement of that. Of being one, it's probably for the simple fact that this is the first time for the people that have been here for a while. But then again, we've had an extensive growth, so you could probably write that off and contribute that to everybody being new and excited about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen it both ways. I think a lot, if you're going to do a referral program, it's only as exciting as you and your staff make it. So like when someone brings in a ticket here, We only accept them on the floor, so we bring them up at the end of the class. We bring up the tickets. What we do is an all-star board, so we
right.
put up the ticket leaders, so they're getting their name up there, and then we do the big 1-2-3. The whole class does the 1-2-3. You rock, and then
right,
we
right.
go. We got 20 tickets going in, so we try to make it very, rewarding for them too, and giving some incentive. So we try to make it exciting, like, oh wow. Alex just pulled ahead. Last week, Cody was leading with 17 tickets. This week, Alex just stepped up with 22. Cody, you're really going to have to step it in next week. Now, Braden, you're not too far behind. So we're trying to make it, you know, competitive, fun, and get everybody excited about it. And one of the other things sometimes that we'll do too is, and we'll probably start this about midway through when if we start seeing it taper down, which I'm projecting that we probably will, because it's very hard to keep that enthusiasm up for 12 weeks, is we'll do something more immediate. Like we'll put out a bulletin board that has balloons, and we'll have prizes in there, everything from like $20 cash to a T-shirt or some low-cost stuff. And then, so not only will we get the five tickets going in the bucket, and they'll get everything that we just talked about, but then we're going to let them throw the dart, and they're going to get a chance to win an immediate prize right then.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's how exciting that you take it. And I know people, so yeah, I would say that people have a lot of luck doing it for the first time, but I've got friends in the industry that I know that do this on a regular basis every year, and the way that they get the excitement going is the way that their students get really excited and want to partake in it year after year.
Right.
Sounds great. Thank you very much, John. If we can have Allie then continue.
And
I'm sure you're going to be speaking on something similar and probably have a slightly different take on your experience. So I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, well, everything John does just doesn't work anyway. So no, I don't have.
I learned it from Allie.
I don't have a different take actually on it at all. My questions. John and I talk to each other. We mentor each other every pretty much 2-3 days a week on the phone and on email. And I'm at a point now in my school where things are just not working the way they used to when I was smaller. So now I'm trying to analyze everything and find out what, you know, of course I have a video series out and I'm not trying to push that, but taking it to the next level, getting to where I got to be for where I am now as far as the size.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, I run a referral program all the time, all year long. And the referrals, basically, it for every person who brings in a referral that signs up in one of our core programs, they get a gift. The gift would be first, probably for the first referral, would be a T-shirt. The second one would be fighting gear. The third one would be a school jacket with our custom logo. The fourth one would be, I forget what it is, some other stuff. And then the fifth one, they get a year for free. So my referral program gives away a $1,000 membership, but in essence, they got the person who gets the $1,000 membership signs up five people in my school. So we get a good source of referrals every year, and I think I just looked at my stats this morning, and I think 2003 we got 197 referrals that signed up in our school. Not all of them in core plans.
Oh, that's fantastic, though. That's great.
It's awesome, but at the same time, not everyone will stay, of course. You know, some of them might have been on a small special, a four-week special, or a year. But a good majority of our, I would say probably half, if not three-quarters of my enrollment, is definitely on referrals. Anyway, back to it. Referrals, I mean, we've had a lot of referrals, and I think the key is always, like John had said, is to build that excitement in the school. But in my area, New York, it seems like people are very cynical. They're afraid to give the names out so freely. So they may be asking you, well, how about I have them call you? And we know that this never happens. So you have to build up that rapport and that trust to get the clients or the students to be able to say, okay, I'm going to give you five referrals. Because if you imagine, in my school, I have 1,000 students. If I got five referrals a year from everybody, I'd get 5,000 referrals. If I could just sign up, 1% of those, that would be incredible. So I think that's the continual basis of building that trust and working on the referrals. We have a set of five different postcards, which we send out, and the postcards on it basically says, are you taking advantage of your referral program? And it'll tell them what they could get. The next one may say, would you like $1,000? That's what our membership is worth that we give away. Every five people that join, we give a year for free that's worth $1,000. So we're constantly keeping it in their face. And that's why, we in my school, like I said, we did a good amount of referrals last year. And that's what we got to continually push for. But the old insurance people, they're still going out there, and when they're done with their meeting with you, they flip the paper around. They say, give me five referrals, and normally I usually turn around and give them five good leads. That's what we got to be a little bit more persistent by calling and asking for it rather than just waiting for it. And then combined with what John does, building that contest and that excitement and having the kids trying to work as hard as they can to win a prize. And we do that when we give out gifts in our school. So if one person gets a referral during class, I'll hand them a T-shirt and have everyone applaud, and they feel great. And then we tell the parents in the lobby, hey, thanks so much, and we build that excitement as well. So that's the key to referrals. But referrals are all we need. If we could get everyone to do what they're supposed to, we would never have to advertise again.
How much of your advertising marketing budget do you feel that you spend physically on referral programs, products, all of that, memberships that you give away after someone signed up, five people referred, five people that signed up, versus actual advertising, traditional advertising?
I think that it's hard to say because I do so much of everything. So I advertise on a regular basis 52 weeks a year, and in my local papers, plus I'm always doing, other ads and local things, and also, different TV spots that we're starting to do now, and we're going to start doing radio. But to give you an exact answer, I couldn't, but I would say that referrals are probably one-tenth of the cost of an advertising campaign. Because
You're not really,
I mean, we do advertise our referral contest, so we're mailing out 1,000 postcards maybe every 2 months. So that's, going to cost us a few hundred dollars there. But still, compared to running an ad, that's like three ads, or four ads in a local paper, and, you're going to spend at least $1,000 on that and not get nearly the amount of response.
Right.
So referrals still always, I think that any school would agree, no matter what size it is, everyone probably, if they look at their stats, which most people don't take care of watching their stats close enough, they would see that referrals still are the highest probably rate of enrollment in their school.
Absolutely.
And if that's the case, why do we not, I mean, I say this to my last staff meeting on last Thursday night, I said, why the heck are we not pushing referrals like it was, the best thing in the world? We do call, we do mail things, but we should be on top of every single student that walks through our door and say, listen, just give me one referral twice a year. That's all I ask. And then that would give us a huge amount of resources.
That's right. I mean, even here at APS, that's something that we're always looking to do is, come up with different referral programs, ways to get a referral. Usually most people will refer a friend if they're happy with the product or service that you offer.
Right.
It's just a question of getting them to go out of their way to do it without you having to ask every time.
Well, you see, that's the key. Is in my area, I find, too, is getting them to go out of their way. Getting people to go out of their way at any point in this day and age is so difficult. So it's like getting those people to really become your, you know, they're going to be in your corner. It's not that they don't love you and they don't think you're getting, their kids are doing a great job. And I've also found, too, it, depending on the size of the school, some people are hesitant to give out referrals because they don't want the classes to get more crowded. They're almost selfish in the same respect that they want to keep the classes small.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that we have to be up against, too, that we got to make sure people understand that they're helping. They got to be behind making the organization grow. Sometimes the jealousies are there, and they don't want to see that as well.
So well, and they might. And the other thing is, I suppose, is do they trust you?
Right.
That you're not going to just torment their friend.
Exactly.
Trying to get them to sign up when, you know, they may not be interested.
Well, the key is that that's what happens when people give out numbers in the past. I mean, I get calls at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday from Newsday trying to sell me the paper. Now, they don't want to be a part of that. They don't want to know that they gave out their number to, you know, to me, and I call them 16 times trying to sell and run a program. So
right.
The key is to really get them to trust you and make sure that they know that there are going to be limitations and you're not going to, you know, you're not going to ruin their name with their friends.
Right. Hey, real quick, Jeff, can I add in there on that?
Sure.
For example, we did the very first week that we started this, I called one mother and didn't even get out my name. I got John Gaston at the, no, and slammed the phone in my ear. So I went
yeah.
to that person that referred them, and I just said, hey, I'm just letting you know this because I don't want to, here's how I do the phone procedure. And we make sure that they understand that they're going to get a 30-day VIP, no obligation whatsoever to continue after 30 days. It's our way of showing to the community that we are much more than punching and kicking and that we teach life skills. But I went to that referral that referred them over and let the parents know that I just called Suzanne Hux. Obviously, she doesn't like you guys as much as you like her. That, and I'm joking about it. But I said, I just want you to understand how I approach the call. Whenever I call, I identify myself, identify the school that I'm with, and I just say that your son, Alex, is good friends with Cody Corrington, and I just wanted to call, and he most likely brought home a buddy pass. I wanted to call, identify what the buddy pass was, and also introduce myself. And if you're interested, I could explain how that works. So I give them the option at that point they can say yes or no. So they have, and I wanted them to know that in case that parent did come back and say, yeah, this guy called right in the middle of dinner and was very rude or whatever. So I wanted them to know. So they do have that faith in us that we're not harassing them and we're not that person.
That's great.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, going back to my referrals, it's just that my program that's worked the greatest for me is the 5 referrals get 1 year for free. And if people, some people have taken the referral program and kind of tailored it down a little because they don't want to give a year for free. But I look at my memberships. If I sell the membership at $1,000 for the year or $1,200 for the year, and I get 5 people in, I'm making $7,000, and all I'm doing is giving away a space on the floor. So that's why I think that this is working so well. Again, I'm not happy. I think it should be much better, but I have gotten good results. But I want to double that or triple that.
Have you talked to the people who haven't referred people, or they've referred maybe one or two, and to push them to have them understand that, look, if you hit one more, look at what you get, or someone who referred four, that next one is a huge benefit for you.
Well, I'll add to that. We definitely do that, and I think that that's important. Sometimes they run out of steam halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
But other times, you know, it just takes that extra call to say, hey, you're only one away, and then they'll go out and they'll really start to work it. So that's so true as well, is keeping them in the loop and letting them know that they're that close. It's just about like goal setting. You sometimes need a mentor to keep you pushing. And we do that. We don't do it as well as we should, but we do that. So we really need to work on that more. So that's a great idea, and we have done it in the past and still do it actively, but not as good as we should.
Mm-hmm.
So that's so true.
My question would be is if you have a person that comes in, do you allow them to do this over the course of a year, or is it just a matter of 5 references while they're there?
No, it's actually the course of a year.
Okay.
On the calendar year, it gets turned back to 0.
Okay.
So they have to do the referrals 5. It's not like an ongoing lifetime thing that they have to do referrals. So we want them to do 5 referrals within the course of that particular calendar year.
Yes, sir.
And
then my other question for you would be, is let's say you have out of the four people or out of the five people that you come in that are referrals, then maybe two of them or one of them becomes your delinquent on payment.
Right.
I'm sure you've encountered that.
I have, but you know what? I don't hold the person who referred them accountable for that.
Yes,
that's my issue altogether. So that referral will still look as a referral to them. I mean, I'm looking to make sure that these people are still in my corner trying to give out referrals. I don't want them to get caught up in the bookkeeping end. So if they get signed up, we actually do the signing up, and we get them in the program, and those people become delinquent, and that's our fault. So I don't hold that, you know, I don't hold that up to the client and say, I'm sorry, one of your people backed out, and I just would give them the program anyway.
Right. Too bad, so sad. But
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You know, the thing is that, again, you don't want any of them to get involved. And then you might get this situation where she goes, oh, well, the program, they didn't treat us very well, and, you know, I'm unhappy, and that's why I'm not paying. Now Mrs. Smith, who just referred five people to you, stops referring because she hears the bad blood.
Sure.
So I try not to get them involved and keep them out of the loop. But it's happened a very small amount of times, if it's happened, you know, 10, that's a lot.
That's a great question. Excellent. Why don't we move on to Brian, who has a very interesting topic, and that is really pressing on most people's minds. You know, how do you tap into the public school system? How do you really get into that? I mean, it's a huge market, and it's a captive market, but there's a lot of schools competing for that market. So how do you get in there? Brian,
right.
Take it away.
First, I think everything that John and Allie really went over really links in well with what I talked about, and I've really got a lot of great ideas from what they went over so far, because I think what it comes down to for our school and what has really helped over the last couple, I'd say like 4 or 5 years, is prior to that time period, we were really setting aside about 10% of our growth to print advertising, newspaper, even cable TV commercials, just outside marketing. And it was great in the beginning because you put an ad in the newspaper and you'd get a substantial number of phone calls, sometimes even 20, 30, 40 leads would be generated from just putting an ad in the newspaper. As of recently, as more schools move into, I'm sure, all of our areas, I know where Allie is, I'm sure there's a ton of competition. And I'm sure all over the country there's more schools today than there was 5 years ago. We're not as fortunate to just be able to do that type of advertising. So we felt we really had to differentiate ourselves. When we figured it out, and the same thing with the referral programs that John and Allie were talking about, they were more advantageous because they actually cost less to generate a student. If you put an ad in the paper and it costs you $1,000, and at this point we're getting maybe 4 leads and maybe 2 of them would sign up, it's costing us $500 right off the top. So I heard a story about Icy Hot, and I don't know how true it is, so don't hold me accountable for it, but I think the idea behind the story was a good one, and I kind of got the idea to get into the school system from it. And the way that it went was that in the beginning of marketing Icy Hot, they had spent all their advertising money. They didn't have enough to pay for radio commercials anymore, but they knew that the average person who bought Icy Hot would buy at least 3 or 4 more bottles within a year's time. An athletic person who bought the product would buy 3 or 4 more times. So they figured if they gave away the first bottle of Icy Hot, they would be guaranteed 4 or 5 more sales if they could just get it out to people. So they struck a deal with radio advertisers to market the product for free, and any of the proceeds that would come in off that first bottle, they didn't give the product away. They still charged whatever it was, let's say $5 for the initial product, but that money would go right to the radio station or whatever advertising it was. So they basically got the advertised. They only paid for advertising that they actually got a result for. So I started to think, how could we only pay for advertising that we actually get a lead from, a solid, good, qualified lead? And where are the people that we're trying to market to? So, of course, most of them are kids, and they're in the school system. So we came up with a program, and we started off charging $49 for 4 weeks. And rather than advertising 4 weeks for $49 like everybody else does in the newspaper and everywhere else, we approached the school system. And what we offered to do for them is to provide a karate demonstration for their students And at the end of the demonstration, all the students would be invited to join our karate fundraiser program, 4 weeks for $49. And the cash was that they made the check directly payable to that school's PTA. So in other words, if they signed up 10 people at $49, they'd make $490. We supplied them with all the materials that they needed to advertise the program. We supplied the students with a free uniform and a month of instruction at our school. Best case scenario that we've had so far is 70 people actually take advantage of the program, and half of those people ending up to sign up on a year's program. So, I mean, depending on how much you're charging for a year of lessons, it adds up to a lot of money. And some people say, well, I can't give out a uniform. Well, you're only giving out a uniform to someone if they're a qualified lead who's coming in to take lessons at your school. So, I mean, it's costing you $15 as opposed to $100 or more. Some of the other things that have really helped to make it work, along with, I think, anything that you do, whether it's a referral program or working with the school system, is you can't just sort of go in and do that initial contact and then expect people to respond. John had mentioned that halfway through the referral program, you'll start to taper down, and then he's going to do something to sort of revamp it and get the people re-energized. And Allie said something about sending out a set of postcards. It's the same thing. We do a five-step program. The first time we contact a student is before the demonstration, and the school system sends home a flyer to every single kid in the school saying that we're going to be there, what we're going to be covering with the kids, and we always try to go on a character development type of theme. The second flyer they get is asking them to join the karate fundraiser. That's the day of the fundraiser. Then we follow up about a week after that, and then finally, 3 weeks after that, we extend it for an additional 2 weeks. And I think the idea with that is don't give up. You know, you have to sort of plan it out beforehand, and if you don't get the initial response you really want, that's sort of expected. I think that you have to have a deadline, and then extending that deadline, I don't know if Allie and John agree, but I always found that extending the deadline, whether it be in print advertising or whatever, you're always going to get a few more people in. And in this case, we actually end up getting most of our people when we extend that deadline. So some of the other things is just going off of what John had said earlier. People that you know. Every person that comes into our school fills out a new student application or a guest list, and on there we ask them any schools or clubs or different organizations that they belong to. And MarshallSoft is actually a great product for tracking all that information. If you're really good about it and you enter the information into MarshallSoft, when you're ready to do this, you could run a query to see who filled out that they were in the PTA or even the Boy Scouts or whatever different groups in the community, and then sort of work off of that. Also training the staff so that they have these materials available to them, so that when someone walks in off the street and says, you know, we're doing a fundraiser for the local Boy Scouts, we're doing a fundraiser for Pop Warner, the same type of program works really with any organization. So if your staff is prepared and you sort of have a system that's ready for them and they're trained in it, then you're more likely to succeed. Some of the things that came up in our way is that schools didn't want us basically soliciting their students or advertising or how they choose between different karate schools. So, you know, for us it just became a game of really differentiating ourselves in the eyes of the school administration. So doing something like a bully buster program for them, something that might be important to them, helped in that way also. In our state, the governor actually mandated that all schools need to teach some sort of bully-proof type of curriculum. So that was a great way for us to get into the schools because all of our staff is trained in delivering, you know, bully-proof seminars. And there's a lot of good programs out there that you could get through Maya. And
well, that makes it nice when the state tells you have to do it, huh?
Oh yeah, and it's a great way to get in. And we do the same exact program. It's 4 weeks for now. I think we do it for $59, and the PTA keeps all the money. And in that case, when we do the bully-proof seminar, we go in there for the whole week and teach all the gym classes. So there's a lot of different twists that you could do on the same idea. But the basic premise of the idea is to keep your advertising low and only pay for a lead when you're going to get a lead.
Well, and it seems that the interesting twist on this is that, unlike other schools, Brian, you're making sure that there's real incentive for that school. They're receiving that initial money, so they're going to work to raise that money.
Oh, yeah, and you get the PTA behind you, and you start to make contacts. And
mm-hmm.
we've been in some of these schools for so long that they call us part of their family. You know, you've
Great.
Done what's important to them, and then you sort of market it in that direction.
Did you find that when you first approached the different school districts, was it difficult to get in, or was there competition at that time? Was it something that, you know, years ago, I suppose, you know, it's been a while now, there really weren't a lot of other schools thinking of the public school system, per se? Are there more people trying to get in now?
Some of the schools are really embedded, and I think because of the message that we really try to get across, the character, we really try to base the not so much on the karate aspect. Karate is just a way for us to sort of open up the kids' minds and then feed them the character development ideas. And because it's so in tune with what they're actually trying to do in the school, not many of the other schools in our area, luckily, are doing that right now. And in the schools that we are in, we're so far entrenched because we've been doing it for the past, you know, 3 to 5 years, a couple times a year, actually, that, you know, the other schools really don't have a leg up. We really have a leg up on them. The other way that we do it, too, is in some of the schools that we have gotten a lot of resistance off of, we just try to take another angle. Like, you could contact a DARE officer, which in our community, the DARE officer is assigned to educate the local kids on the use of not using drugs and so on. So basically, we try to hook up with the DARE officer and run the same exact program through him, give the money to DARE, you know, and through him, he's able to get us into the school system and distribute the flyers that way. So
okay.
I think if you open it up and you really think, don't just think, you know, well, it's one way, and if they say no, then I'm just going to, you know, give up and not do this. If you open it up, it may take you a year, it may take you 2 years, but it's certainly worth it when you figure out how much you're really paying for each of those students.
Oh, absolutely, and you know, and especially when you put an ad in, you know, I'll use Maya for an example. In our situation, we have Maya, we've used NAPM in the past. You do direct mail, as you said, you know, there's no guarantee on any response, and you have to lay out that money ahead of time.
Yeah, and so $15 for a uniform, when you know the person's going to be coming to your school, then it's really up to you. If you have a good enough introductory program, there's no reason why that person shouldn't enroll.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. Does anyone have any questions?
I have a question. It's Allie again. Brian, with our area, we do get a huge amount of resistance. Like, we just taught in an elementary school. We did do the whole entire day, starting, you know, every class through first through sixth grade. But they were so adamant about not letting us have any kind of things given out with our, not even a crossword puzzle with our name on the bottom with a free class. So they fight us tooth and nail trying to get them behind us. Do you find that's, how did you get around that? I mean, or did you ever encounter that?
I definitely encountered it. I'll take the two schools that really push it in. One school system, there's no resistance at all, so that's not really a good example. They're very open to it, and it's just a matter of I've been doing it for so long, it's just a matter of calling them up at the beginning of each year and setting up the dates.
Right.
In the second area, where there's a little bit more resistance, that's where I really try to work the DARE officer.
Uh-huh.
And that actually worked for us. We never get as good of a response as when it goes straight through the PTA, because I'm just assuming, but, you know, then, you know, you have the support of the PTA and so forth behind you.
Right. So do you find that it would probably, because being that we just did this class, it was through the principal, which is great, and they brought us right in, and it was in conjunction with the PTA, but the principal is the one who kind of put a stop to anything. So maybe if we had the PTA work the angle for us and maybe give them, a kickback on whoever signed up or whatever you're saying, that would
I think
better.
That's key, you know. It's like bottom up, you know, instead of going with the top guy and trying to convince him, you get all these people going to him and saying, hey, when are we going to do this? It sounds like a great idea.
So do you get
idea.
A meeting with the PTA? Is that how you actually do? You try to set up a meeting with each individual PTA group?
No, basically what I do is when they fill out the new student application, I ask on it, what other groups or whatever do you belong with? And, you know, just getting to know people, basically.
Right.
I mean, you know who in your school is active in whatever organizations there are
sure.
in the community. And basically go through those people that I already know and say, hey, you know, your kids are already in karate, and they're already getting the benefits that we have to offer here as far as bullying. Bullying, I found, is like a real hot button.
Right, of course.
You know, so they're already getting the benefits of, you know, learning not how to be bullied and learning that it's wrong and so on and so forth. It's the kids that's not in here.
I think it's
so we're really having a tough time getting this message across to the kids that aren't taking karate. Would you be kind enough to help me, you know, distribute this information to the PTA and get to the right people? And even if you don't have the PTA president involved, you know, they know who that person is, and then hopefully they get it to them, and hopefully they have a good enough relationship that, you know, something starts to happen. But like in Jackson, actually, where we basically have open rein on whatever we want to do there,
right?
In the whole entire school system, I mean, I teach in every single school there.
Right.
It's like thousands of kids, you know, and every single kid in that community knows who we are.
Right.
It took a long time. I mean, I really wouldn't give up. I mean, it's worth it that much that, you know, I would try to do the, definitely I would do the kickback thing.
Yeah.
And then I would just persist because it's only going to, you know, next year there's going to be a new PTA president and maybe eventually a new principal. And
right.
Eventually you're going to hit it.
Right. Yeah, we get a good. We do go out there, but we don't get the response that you guys are getting on that on all of our school talks. We're out there a lot. I'm doing a lot of personal, you know, classroom visits, and I don't see the turnaround as far as people coming in. Although a lot of people know us, and when they do come in, they say, you know, oh, 2 years ago I saw you in our school, but it's not like immediate. So that's why I'm trying to tighten up on that. So that's all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, no, it all pays off in the end because you know you're getting an exposure one way or another.
Right.
But for that big hit, I think. Like, we do the school talks, we go into an individual student's classroom.
Right.
And that's a trick. I mean, if you get one or two, you're lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, we are. You know, we don't really get those big numbers from that. But, it, you know, once we're in the school, we try to, you know, kind of go over to the principal, introduce ourselves again, and try to make sure that we at least give them a chance to get the fundraiser for the PTA going again.
Right. Okay,
and
great.
It's exposures, too. You know, we hit them with a flyer. We don't just go in there the day of the demonstration and give them a flyer and expect them to act on that.
Right.
A couple days before, they're getting something announcing we're going to be there, and then there's some follow-up letters that go out as well. And that the follow-up really seems to be where we're getting a lot of the students coming in from. You know, you get like maybe 15 or 20 to come in off the first flyer, and then maybe another 15 or 20 off the second one, and then the last one, you get like another 25 or so.
Right. Okay, great. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have any questions for Brian? Okay, any other questions for any of our people in the group, or myself for that matter?
I do.
Okay.
This is Ron Zohar. From
hey, Ron, how are you?
I'm doing, yes. My question is for John Gaston for the VIP referral.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's a couple of questions. One, when you get the tickets from the kids or the students, do they also tell the people that they refer? Do they give them any kind of coupon? Do they tell them anything? Do you tell them what to tell them?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just basically collecting the names and addresses?
There's a two-part on the ticket. So they do give a ticket to them, and then we also ask them to say, you know, Shihan John's going to go ahead and give your mom or dad a phone call, so let him know, and he'll tell you how to set up your first appointment. So we do try to, you know, in a sense, how well will a 7 or 8 year old preframe your cell call?
Right.
But at least they give a heads up that it is, and there is a part of that ticket that goes back to them.
Okay, so the parents at least expect in some level a call.
Exactly.
It's not a total call.
Yeah, and it's what we probably neglected on this. On this particular buddy pass, but you know, also to maybe put down there, you can put down that we'll be contacting you to set up your first appointment, or feel free to contact us upon receiving this to set up your first appointment. So you can make, you know, a little line on there just to add that in there too, so they understand that will happen. But yeah, so far, and you know, where we're getting a lot of this is too is parents.
Mm-hmm.
Are really pushing because, you know, they're excited. You know, it's just like, it's the same thing. If you're in a Girl Scout, who really sells the cookies?
Right.
The moms are taking them to the work, the dad's taking them to work, and they're out there pushing it. So we're starting to see that same response here, is that the parents are really really doing their best to help their children out with winning this contest and getting them out.
Plus,
they believe in the program. So, I'm sorry?
Do you have any suggestions to get the parents behind? Because the problem I've had with trying referral programs,
mm-hmm.
the kids would get all pumped up. But, you know, they tell their 8-year-old buddy and that's the end of it.
Right. Well, I do a complete, we do a complete letter when we, and then we make the announcement. So that whole first week when we're giving out the VIP packets, we put everything in a pack, which is a letter explaining it, the packets in there, and it shows how the contest works. So there, you know, there's 3 to 4 forms that are in this envelope. It's addressed, we put a, do our mailing list off of our database, and then put that out there. So every, and then we also, as we're passing them out in class, we go ahead and do a 10-minute presentation to the parents and the children on what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we do our best to keep them informed on it, and they're right there when we're doing the highlighting of each student and stuff like that too. But there is a letter, and I'd be more than glad if you want to send me an email, mm-hmm. I'll respond to it back and send you the letter that we use on that, so that we introduce it to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a complete letter that introduces the parents and why we're doing what we're doing. And the greatest compliment that you could pay us in our school is by the constant referrals and what we want to do at this time around. We constantly get referrals, and we want at this point we want to run a contest and give you something back for those referrals.
That's excellent. All right, thanks a lot.
Is there any other question?
I have a question. This is Dave. I'm from Integrated Martial Arts in Hackettstown, New Jersey. We spoke on the phone before.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Our birthday parties. How are you doing, sir?
Good.
You know, I've done a couple birthday parties, about 2 a month lately,
mm-hmm.
and I've had quite a few kids, and I've only gotten one sign-up out of them. I mean, I had a couple referrals and a couple people call, but nothing really following through.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if something within the birthday party, the way I run it, or the VIP that goes with it, like, what am I missing? I'm trying to figure out what I'm missing there.
Okay. Well, usually when people are having some trouble with that, what I've seen is that, one, is you've got to get the parent involved. So a lot of times some of these kids are coming to birthday parties, maybe carpooling or getting dropped off.
Yeah.
So we try to do a complete contact page. And, you know, you can fall back on, we need this for insurance purposes for this birthday party. And maybe prior to that party happening, get that information that goes with the parent that's hosting the party. And if they get you this contact information, that parent has to sign this. And you might want to put a note on there at the end of this as a gesture for so-and-so's birthday. All attendees of this party will also receive as a compliment of attending this party 30 days free and a uniform. So maybe kind of put those wheels in motion prior to. A lot of people do the birthday parties and the kids get dropped off, they come in, but then we really lose that contact or lead information that we don't get. Plus, the parents really don't know everything about what this is going on.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe, and I'm not sure if that's what, but most of the people that have some difficulty getting that, even in the beginning when we started implementing that, it was that we were weak in that area.
Yeah,
so,
I think that's what it is.
Okay. Do you feel that area might be weak?
Yeah.
Okay.
It makes sense. All right. That's good. Thank you very much.
Okay. And feel free, like I said, to email me or call me if you had any other questions on that.
Excellent. Thank you.
Could I add to that birthday party thing?
Sure, go ahead.
Last year, we just did our stats the other day. We had 140 parties at our schools for the last year, which is pretty a huge number. And we didn't sign up a huge amount of people, but we did sign up a good portion of, you know, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3% from each party. I think the key is follow up, and that's, you know, again, like John had said, you have to follow up regularly. I mean, one phone call or two phone calls sometimes doesn't do it. So if you keep on them and mailing them information, also mailing them, we have a nice full-color flyer for our birthday parties. We continually send that out to all the party people as well. And now we're starting to get a lot of those people back that have never joined our school but did a party with us doing their own party, and now they're going to say they want to sign up. So sometimes it takes a year of mailers, and then we're starting to see the results now. So I think that's something, persistence on you know, calling them and sending them stuff is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it would not be a bad idea to have a separate conference call, perhaps the next one, on special events.
Yep.
And how to plan those, how to gear them up. I know Tommy Lee has created a whole special event package. Obviously, John, Allie, Brian are all very familiar with that. It would certainly be a lovely idea maybe to hit that next time, and maybe that's what we'll do.
Yeah.
Would everyone like to discuss that next time?
Absolutely. That'd be great.
Okay. We can do that. You know, and remember that the topics that we come up with, you know, if we get feedback from clients, we'll address those topics. So whatever's pressing, you know, contact consulting at APSfinancial.com or sales at APSfinancial.com or give us a phone call, talk to your rep, let us know what you want, and then we'll try to accommodate as best we can. Allie, one final question on that, and I guess I'd ask Allie, John, and Brian, when you do a special then, and we can target this more next time, do you do it solely to get a lead and a prospect and a sign-up, or do you do it to make money on the event as well?
Well, this is John. I'll go first. We charge for our birthdays, for the birthday parties. So it is it's not a huge revenue-increasing thing, but it does take care of our expenses on the stuff that we're providing, such as the drinks and the pizza. They provide like a birthday cake, so and then plus we're able to pay our staff for it. So from that perspective, we want to make sure that we're covering the cost of the operation. However, we're not looking for a huge profit above and beyond that. That's what we're looking for, is for that to have that residual value of that new student and prospect.
And when we talk about events in the future, we can talk about how do you go about converting those people, because
right.
in that situation, that's huge.
Sure. And this is in a part of the boot camp that we're going to do there in Philadelphia, is the part of the marketing thing is I'm going to go into detail on VIPs and birthday parties is going to be one of those areas that we're going to cover fairly extensive too, and I'll have an outline and stuff available then.
Oh, great. Okay, we look forward to seeing that. Allie?
It depends on the event. Of course, there are certain in-house events that are just student-based, so that, you know, those are both motivation and retention and making money. Birthday parties seem to be a viable area of making income. Like, for instance, off of those parties we did last year, we made about $24,000 extra income. And that's, you know, profit, not...
And that's over and above paying staff and costs.
Over and above paying staff and the cost. We actually have 4 different parties, and I did this after taking my daughter to Gymboree. And I looked at their birthday parties. We were charging like $100 for a birthday party. Our main thing was just to pay for our expenses, pay our staff, and get leads. But then when I saw the cost, our most extensive birthday party is $450.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes a performance from our demo team, which, you know, is just exciting for our demo team to get out there. But we're making money on each event, and we're getting leads. So I wouldn't discredit the idea that, you know, because there are places like Chuck E. Cheese and all those other places making a ton of money on birthday parties. So if you don't mind being there and having people run amok and go crazy in your studio and all the insanity that goes along with it, then I don't do the parties myself, but if you don't mind that, there is a great way to make a lot of extra money and always have that viable source of leads.
So, you, Allie, you have levels of it then?
We have 4 different tiers to our birthday parties.
Okay, perfect.
Starting at the most basic, going up to our highest, where we have includes a free private lesson for the kids with a performance from our demo team. And we only allow per party, depending on what party it is, you know, a certain amount of kids. Anything and above, they have to pay extra. We do include goodie bags, or some of them they have to pay extra for that. And again, anybody could email me that and I'll also be more than happy to, or email Jeff and I'll send you a copy of my birthday flyer.
You have my email.
Yeah, we can hit that next time then. We'll pick up where we left off this time.
Awesome.
Brian, anything to add to that?
No, I really like Allie's idea. That sounds great, the levels of the birthday party. And that's pretty much the same thing. I mean, I think we definitely try, as far as birthday parties go, it's definitely a revenue generator for us as well as leads.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, I'd like to thank everyone for coming today online and over the phone. And we certainly appreciate everyone's participation and look forward to making sure we get more and more people on this. I mean, these are great opportunities to teach and train and collaborate and network with one another, and that's what we're here to do to help facilitate. So thank you very much for coming, and thank you to our 3 esteemed guests and speakers, as well as everyone on the call. With that, until next time, thank you, everyone.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.